What is up, everybody? I'm George Massey. It's the George Massey Show. Surprise, surprise, everybody. I know everybody is very surprised from me and Kara to be back. I'm very excited to be back. It's been a long time coming. Different things have happened and we weren't able to be here, but Kara and I are back. And hello, hi, Chow, hi. Geek in the kitchen. Hi, everybody. This is a fun little surprise. Kara and I are going to be back for the show tonight, and we're going to discuss Happily Ever After. And then tomorrow is the premiere of The Other Way. It's been forever, right? I feel like it's been a really long time. I wanted to come back on, and life has been crazy, but you got to make time for the stuff that you want to do. So I'm trying to get Kara in here. I sent it to her. So we can get in here and talk about the show. What's up, Tim? What's up, Tim? So we're gonna be talking about Happily Ever After. There's a lot of stuff that happened tonight in this episode that I want to discuss. So yeah, it's been a long time since I've been on Instagram Live, Lisa. I feel like it's been a hot minute. But it's important to do the things you love to do. So that's what I'm trying to do. I'm trying to make sure that we discuss and talk about it. Hold on. Hi, Kim. What's up, everybody? So yeah, I'm actually, Kim, can you text Kara and tell Kara to get in here? I can't get a hold of her. What's up?
What up, brother? How are you?
I'm good. I'm good. I just finished watching episode 10 of Happily Ever After, and I'm about to discuss all the insanity that we just encountered tonight.
So it's funny. I was just doing a live, and I was like, "All right, guys, I've been on too long. You're doing it at all?" But I saw you were live, and I was like, "Let me holler at George real quick." So I'm only gonna stay on for a minute. But have you told your people yet about our LA experience at all?
I did do a Patreon podcast where the subscribers have heard about it. I have wrote up an article, but I haven't gotten in depth of how much insanity took place in LA. So we haven't really gotten like in depth with it, but I'm
Okay.
gonna be doing that.
All right. Well, let me tease that then. So, guys, I didn't know George personally, and we ended up being in the same house, renting a car together in LA like 3 weeks ago. We had never met, barely had talked in text, but like maybe three times. And the craziest shit ever, like, you cannot make this shit up. So, if he's got some shit on Patreon, like, I'm not making any money off it, but I'm telling you, it's worth it. Like, go and buy it. Or subscribe. I don't even know how that works, but I'm telling you the LA story. I don't even really want to be involved in it, but I was there. So guilty by association, but luckily, I was just in the city for some of it. I wasn't at all of the events. I was at some of them. But my man George here is he's an awesome guy. I'm glad that we got to meet. He's definitely become a friend. So I really just wanted to hop in so that some of my people would be introduced. So if you don't know who George is, he's a what do you call yourself, a blogger, podcaster?
They use the word blogger a lot. I used to say podcaster, but everyone's like, no, you're a blogger because you report news. So you have to be a blogger, but yeah.
Well, so check him out. He covers 90 Day a lot. In fact, me and him had words a little bit on X before because I thought he would be picking on me sometimes, but he's actually really cool. And now I know that when he's picking on me, he's just doing his job. It's kind of like the same thing when we're pillow talking. I tell Kessner, like, bro, it's our job to make fun of you. So, like, stop your feelings. But anyway, he's a good dude. And LA was fucking insane.
What?
It was. We're still dealing with shit from that trip. Like, did you
We
get
are.
the Turo figured out?
Yes, it's all figured out now. The tire's been repaired, and yeah, the whole thing, guys. When I tell you, so I tell Tim when we were leaving LA, I was like, we're trauma bonded now, right? Like, I feel like we have to be bros now because the shit that we went through, no one would ever believe, right? Like, there's people that have known each other for 20 years that haven't been through the stuff that we've been through, that we went through
Yeah, it was
once.
literally like, they made those movies about like some crazy bro weekend, like I'm
The
trying to
Hangover,
like,
right? The
yeah,
Hangover.
over a Euro trip, like one of those, and it like literally it, I think they could make a movie about that weekend, honestly. Like, there's enough content, enough shit that happened that you could literally write a movie around it.
Yeah, it was crazy. And Tyree will tell you too, it was insane. But like I said,
I had an amazing time meeting you. And the funniest part about all of this, because I put this in the Patreon podcast, was like, you're the coolest person in the world. And I think it's hilarious because on TV, I had a predisposed, I think it's really funny because it was 100% wrong. And I didn't know anything about you until I met you, and you, who you are as a person now and who are, you are as what I thought you were going to be are two different people. So I just want to stress that out.
I'm happy to hear that, man. I really enjoy hanging out with you, bro. And listen, if you guys are like my people in here or his, whatever, just support this guy. He's cool. We really did trauma bond. Like, he's not good. So, you know, we had a good time, and, you know, hopefully we'll get to do it again sometime.
I can't wait. I can't wait till the next trip. Honestly, I'm ready to plan it. I'm mad I missed the last one, honestly, but I can't wait.
Okay, brother. Well, I'm going to hop out and let you do your thing, but thank you very much. Hey, how are you?
Thanks, good, are man.
You? Good. All right, brother.
Appreciate it. All right, we'll talk.
Bye-bye.
All right, peace. What's up, Kara?
You blamed me. I was waiting for you to let me in.
I'm sorry. I wasn't paying attention. I have this phone in my hand, and then I wasn't paying attention. I'm sorry. So welcome back. I'm so excited to be back, right? Like, me and you have been planning our comeback for months, and it seemed like every time we were ready to come back, something else happened and threw us off track, right? And I went through loss. You went through loss. We just all types of stuff, but I'm ready. Me I feel too. Like me and you, we cannot be stopped, right? Like, we're absolutely a dream team. We are strong. We've been through a whole lot. And that's I'm it. Just ready to be back here. So Happily Ever After, episode 10. This is a good time to come back to because tomorrow is the beginning of The Other Way. And yeah. Jenny and Submit and Luke and Madeline, I can't never say that right. They're the only two people that are coming back, but there's all new people. And you know,
wait, for there's me, somebody else coming back. Who there's two of the same. Luke wait, and what's that? Yeah. I saw
Luke
two.
And Jenny and Submit, right? I think that's the only
Yeah.
So everybody else is new. And you know, I'm not a huge fan of Luke and the other chick, but Jenny and Submit have always been favorites of mine. I'm obsessed with them. And they're the story that I never thought would come to be. I condemned their relationship from the beginning. I said it was never gonna work out. I said the age difference was too different. It was never gonna work. And they are the ones that came and smacked me across the face and said, oh, guess what? Not only are we still together, but we're in love and you were wrong. And I respect that.
100%. I love Jenny from the jump.
So I want to talk about best friends and sharing information because, you know, you and I are best friends and we share information, very personal information. So tonight on this episode, we learned that Libby and Andre and Alexi and Lauren were sharing information. And it turned out Andre was talking about losing money to the guys, which, you know, guys do this stuff. Guys tell things to their friends before they tell their wives because they know that their wife, they're going to have a strong reaction. But we found out that Andre was reading Libby's text messages. And now, Jen, now I know that you're married. So I want to ask you a question. And I know you have some girlfriends that are your best friends in the whole world. Is there ever been a time where your husband was reading your messages between you and your girlfriends? I'm just curious.
No.
And would you even allow that?
No.
So that's my thing. Why would a man need to read his wife's text messages between other women?
I would never allow that to happen because for so many reasons. My friends tell me things in deep, deep trust that it's never going to leave my ears. So for me to share that with anybody, I don't give a shit if they're married to me or the blood related to me. They weren't the ones that were told. So it's none of their business.
This is my thing. And then this information got aired out in the middle of a heated argument. So they're like, oh, well, you said this. And they're going back and forth. And it's funny because, you know, I have best friends. Kim is in there too. She's like, I tell you everything. And it's funny, no matter how angry I would ever be, like you just said, the information that we discuss privately will go to the grave, right? Yes. I don't care if I'm mad at you. I don't care if we're having an argument or if we're at an event and you say something mean. I'm never going to air out my friends. And I think it really shows you how fake, no offense, how fake these girls are, because the absolutely second they had an argument or a tiff, they were ready to throw each other under the bus. They're like, oh, he says you're fat, or he doesn't tell you about me. And I was like, see, this just shows how fake your relationships really
especially
are.
Especially at another friend's launch party, when that should be the focus. Keep your damn mouth shut, keep your drama to yourself, and bring that shit up later.
Like, I just really hate to see people who trust people that get their trust betrayed, because it's happened to me so many times. And it's like, I trust people with information, or I trust people and I tell them everything about my life. And then the second we stop becoming friends or stop talking to each other, it's all out there. Because, you know, I used to be friends with one of the 90 Day cast members. You know exactly who it is. I'm not going to say the person's name. But we were friends for years, right? Yep. And they have been to my house. All of this stuff. We haven't spoken in probably 2.5 years. And I know everything about this person.
Yeah.
Information that would be super, super valuable to TMZ.
Yeah.
But do you know who's not going to get that information? Anyone.
Anybody.
Because
yeah.
even though we're not friends anymore, I have no interest in making up with this person. I'm angry at them. I'm never going to do that. And I feel like a true friend, regardless of where you end up or you ever stop talking, that information is sacred because it was given to you under the pretense that y'all were close and you trusted each other. And trust, for me, trust doesn't have an expiration date, right? Yeah. Like, trust is something that, and loyalty doesn't have an expiration date. And it just shows you that. I mean, I never thought Libby was a loyal person to begin with, or
Lauren. I didn't either.
So it's kind of ironic because it's funny because I have the people that'll attack me. They're like, oh, Libby's a good person and Andre's misunderstood and Lauren's not this and that's not. It's like, what do y'all have to say now? Now that you've seen what I saw tonight, what do you have to say now? Do you want to argue with me now? Because nobody in that friend group is loyal. Well, I don't really want to throw Jovi in it. Jovi really did mind his own business tonight. He was the only one that was like,
and I mean, you got to give it to Yara a little bit. She handled it well. It's her launch party. And then at the very end, she just stuck it to her. So, good on
her.
Well,
Yara did. She was like, this is ghetto and y'all should know how to act when I'm trying to have a business transaction in a party. And Yara was like, you know what? Since you want to start shit at my party, I'm going to start shit with you. And I was like, good for you, you know? Because you know what? I think Yara is the one that stood up to Angela at that one tell-all. Remember that? When Angela came out and Yara was like, why don't you respect everybody? We respected you. And Yara was the only one who stood up to her. And I was like, Yara is not as scary as people make her out to be. Yara will stand up to people and she will put herself out there. And, you know, obviously, nobody is going to attack her or anything. I don't think Libby or Lauren are fighters. I think
Yara would kick all their asses given the opportunity.
I feel the same way. Isn't that funny? Because she's so cute and she's so, like, fragile and plastic. But I feel like given the right opportunity, she would deck somebody.
Absolutely.
I just feel like nobody is smart or, well, I don't want to say so. No one is stupid enough to come at her that way. Because I was like, Yara actually is the type where if you come at her wrong, she might actually hit you. Like, I could see Yara's mugshot in my mind. And she would be smiling because she would be like,
yep,
that bitch had it coming. Right? Yeah. I feel like Yara would definitely be like, she came at me crazy, so I smacked her. Like, I literally
can smiling in her mugshot. Holding
she would. And she'd be like, Jovi is already here to pay my bill. I don't care.
Yep.
Right? She would just be like, she shouldn't have said that to me. She shouldn't have ruined my event. And I feel like Yara is actually, she stood up to Angela. And I think anybody who stands up to Angela has to know that they can fight. Right?
Yeah.
Like, she definitely, 100%. She put herself out there. Because at that tell-all, Angela cussed out everybody, I think, on the whole tell-all cast. She cussed out everybody within like the first 5 minutes. And Yara was the only one who stood back up and was like, hey, watch your mouth. You know, like she was the only one. So, yeah, I definitely agree with that. But so other than that, I want to talk about the Brandon and Julia situation. So do you find it weird that Brandon and Julia's in-laws, well, Julia's parents, she said that they don't get along. But it seems like they've been sitting on top of each other and hanging out together and pretty cozy the whole trip. So how much do you believe the my parents hate each other story? I think that it's a storyline. Do you think they're actually together? Because I've been getting the vibe that they're actually together. They're not even like separated.
Yeah, I kind of feel like, I don't feel like they're together, but I feel like they've been working back into getting back together. So definitely speaking terms since she moved to America.
So the people, I was just talking about this the other day, the people that were married, divorced, and got married again.
Yeah.
That's what they're doing. So yeah, they hated each other, they got divorced, and then they started growing on each other again, and they're leaning back towards probably getting married again. That's the vibe I get too, because the mom and the dad, because she's like, they can't be in the same room, they can't be around each other, they flew on the same plane together, they sat next to each other, they got off the plane
together.
And
they're splashing each other with pool water and making jokes. And
they don't look,
If that was somebody I hated and you splashed pool water on me, bitch, you better hold your breath because you're going in.
That's what I'm saying, Kara. If I could sit next to somebody that I don't like, they will require stitches. But we can sit next to each other for a while, but they're going to need stitches and they're going to need medical attention because I don't like you. So the fact that she's like, oh, they don't get along. They can't be around each other. And they're eating breakfast together. The only thing they weren't doing were feeding each other. They get along.
Especially when it's exes. That's even more tumultuous.
You don't even understand, right? Like, I feel like...
I do. I for you, it's 10 times more tumultuous. But well, yes.
I can't with that. But they're also planning a wedding in Florida. And the last time we saw the wedding planning in Florida, it was, Ashley and Manuel. They planned a wedding and it was supposed to rain. Remember? And she was like, I can't believe it's going to rain. And you know, she's a psychic. And now we're having the same situation with Brandon and Julia. Given Julia is not a psychic, but she has no plan B for her wedding.
This
is
also coming from the same girl that thought Baywatch was filmed in Florida.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Julia is definitely not in touch with her American history and also not with her meteorology information, because anyone who's ever been to Florida, I mean, I know if you just vacation in Florida, you might not take into consideration the weather, but in the summer, in the rainy season, it rains 4 or 5 times a day.
I've never been to Florida. I will come.
Really?
Yes, I will come soon, but I've never been to Florida. And I would not plan a beach wedding at any time of year because even I know that.
We have hurricanes. And when we don't have hurricanes, our thunderstorms look like hurricanes.
Right.
It looks like, and it's funny because I'll be driving and it'll be sunny. Everything will be fine. 5 miles down the road, I'll be driving into a thunderstorm that looks like a monsoon. It looks like I'm driving into a hurricane. And then
it's
20 minutes
later. It's like that last hurricane you guys had. And I was so stressed about you. I couldn't sleep. I couldn't eat. I'm texting you. Oh, my God, George, are you okay? Are you okay? And you're like, yeah, I'm just chilling, watching a movie. Well, not anymore. I lost power, but it's fine.
It doesn't scare us. It doesn't scare us. But it's funny because we're not surprised by it. It's like I was out yesterday and it rained. It's funny. I checked the weather. Everything is fine. Didn't say it was going to rain. I was out the entire time I was out yesterday. It rained the whole time. Then as soon as I pulled in the driveway, it stopped raining. It's just how it works. And it's like, you can't plan anything outdoors. And if you're going to plan anything outdoors, you do have a backup, a plan B, you know, and a tent. And even a tent in Florida, a tent's kind of scary too, because those will blow away.
Yeah.
Right. Our storms are very intense. Like, we don't just get rain, we get storms. So I was like, you really should try to get married indoors. Or if you want to do a beach wedding, do it in California where it's safe. Right. It's very safe to try things in California. They don't even get rain. They're on a drought. They're thirsty, right? The land is thirsty. There's no water. You're safe. The weather is actually a lot cooler as well. So if you really want to plan it, you do that. So we're going to have to sit through a second Brandon and Julia wedding when I didn't even want to watch the first one. So we're going to have to sit through that.
Yep.
So this is an unfortunate thing. And also, we're going to go through Georgie and Darcy's anniversary. So they're hitting their 1 year.
What happened with Betty? When did she become like this? I liked her in their first season. She seemed like such a nice mom, mother-in-law, human, non-meddling, but...
What? She's always been a little meddly, though.
She's always been a little meddly, but lately she's just like, she's so much. She is so much. I have a mother-in-law that's like that, so...
Oh, do you see? I kind of feel like she's buying into the meddling mother-in-law thing. Like, I don't know how much of it is what's the word? Legitimate? I think that
when she shooed Julia out of the kitchen, man, that would have been the last time my mother-in-law used those.
Well, that was my thing. I was like, Julia, why are you outside and she's in your kitchen? I was like, if anybody should be outside, it's her. It's your house. Yeah. So I was like, that's my issue. And I think Julia, she is getting the balls to start standing up to Betty. And I think a lot of people on Twitter are misinterpreting that. They're like, oh, she's such a nasty person. She should be thankful that she has a loving mother-in-law. And I was like, well, there's a fine line between loving and overbearing.
Absolutely.
And you have to set boundaries with people. People will overstep boundaries if there's no set boundaries. And I think a lot of people are like, oh, Julia should just be happy that she's throwing a party or she cares enough. But I was like, when you set a boundary and someone oversteps the boundary over and over and over, you have to let them know, hey, I'm not going to accept you disrespecting the boundaries that I set. And I mean, she isn't cussing her out or yelling or screaming like I would have did. She's yep. doing it a lot subtler than I would approach it. But a lot of people are like, oh, she's just being a good mother-in-law. And I was like, I don't know.
Yeah, but even last, was it last week or the week before, Ron even got shitty with Julia, told her she's ungrateful and everything because Betty's trying to set up doctor's appointments with her. And no, I don't, like, you can tell she didn't want to go to the freaking doctor, especially while she's trying to get her parents there and they're dealing with home improvements and all of that stuff. And then you got people telling you what you need to do and how they're going to help. And no way, no way I would have snapped.
Well, I think that it's important to have, and here, okay, so here's the thing, I want to play devil's advocate. I think that Betty knows that Julia doesn't have anyone on this side of the pond for her to go to doctor's appointments, to be a mother figure. And I think Betty oversteps because she's like, oh, well, I should be there because I'm the only mother figure she has, you know, within a 30-hour flight who could do it. And I was like, but you only show up to appointments and do these things when they ask you. You don't go and set up appointments for people if they didn't ask you to. And I do think Betty is trying to be there for her. She just doesn't know the definition.
But think back to when she first got here, when Julia first got here, and they were, what, coming back from the airport, and Betty says, are you on birth control? Well, I'll set up an appointment with my doctor to get you on birth control.
I remember that.
You just can't do that.
I remember that. I literally said to you, I was like, Kara, she's like making plans for her coochie now. And I was like, that's way out of line. You don't make plans for other people's organs, right? Like, absolutely. If she decides she wants to put an IUD in there, that's her decision. And she can set up the appointment. But you don't decide. Because she's like, oh, you're going to be living in my house. I was like, you're not in charge of her vagina because she's living in your house. Right? Like, exactly. you just don't get to tell people what they can do, when they can do it, and tell them how to do it just because they're living in your house. Right?
Yeah.
Betty Absolutely. Needs to be more like Miss Gwen. Oh, Lisa, see, Miss Gwen, she was me tonight because I loved how she saw all this drama going on and she just sat there and sipped her drink and was like, none of this involves my kids, so I don't care. And I was like, that's the attitude you have to take. Because she could have easily inserted herself into this drama and she sat there and looked at everyone and judged them and said nothing. That was me all night.
And
I was
then like, when Jovi started walking over there, she says, not yours to deal with. Not yours to deal with.
Right. This isn't your circus. You not your monkey. Leave these people be. If this is the way that these people decide to act in public, let them be.
I love
And I think Gwen is the perfect example of a 90-day mom. Because she wants what's best for hers, but she also lets them make stupid decisions and mistakes, but she's always there when they need her. And I think that's the best approach when it comes to being an in-law. Like, you can't control, especially your daughter-in-law or brother or son-in-law, you can't control them. You just have to be there when they screw up. They're gonna screw up. They're gonna do stupid things, right? You just have to be there to support them. And Gwen even showing up to this event, that's just a plane ride away. And this event was a disaster.
Yeah.
Okay, so did you see the post that Shabuti posted? No, you didn't see it. It's $1,150 for that doggy bag that she was selling. So who's buying that, Kara? Who's spending? I mean,
there's a lot of crazy dog people out there. I'm a crazy dog person, and the only reason I don't have one is because my dogs are 200 pounds a piece.
But for $1,100, you could buy a Gucci one.
I mean,
I don't know. Like, I said this on Twitter. People were not happy, but I was like, it seems like Yara is always up to some sort of scheme. Do you remember back in the...
She had like a clothing line too.
She had like a clothing line. She also had like a hair straightening line where she was selling $500 hair straighteners. She's always up to some sort of money-making scheme. And somebody yelled at me because they were like, oh, well, at least she doesn't have like a GoFundMe or an OnlyFans. Why are you hating? And I was like, see, no, you're right. She could be asking people just to give her money. She does sell things, but it always seems like there's some sort of weird money-making scheme going on with Yara where she's
selling. Was probably trying to guilt Andre and Libby and Alexi and Lauren and everybody into buying a bag.
I mean, yeah, I'm pretty sure when she showed up to the event, she was like, all of you have to buy this and post it on your Instagram.
Yeah.
So people will
buy it. I'll give it to you for $300 off.
I think it's for $1,150, though, I'm going to buy a Fendi bag for my dog.
Yeah.
Like, no offense to Yara, but, like, that's that price range. I think somebody texted me earlier on Twitter, and they were like, oh, the Louis one is $4,000 or whatever.
I mean, I'll be honest. The bags weren't that cute.
Well, no, they were very plain, and I never heard of the name brand. Oh, and I got a little insider information. So someone told me that this is a real brand from overseas, and then she's just a brand ambassador. So this is not her company. She's a sales representative for this brand, and it is
that
a very popular
so
brand.
That makes so much sense.
Yes, yes. So I was, you know, I had to look into it because I was like, did she just make this shit up? But no, this brand existed already. She's now a brand ambassador for this brand of bags. Hey, Valerie. And she's selling these bags. So I'm assuming the bags probably cost $300. And then the $1,100 is her markup. Because she's going to get a commission off of each bag. So these bags are probably made somewhere in like China, right? For like for $25. And then the company will sell them to you for like $300. And then you sell them for like $1,150. And this is how everybody's making money. It's like, I don't want to call it a pyramid scheme, but that's kind of what it is, right?
I mean, it kind of is.
Right, because she's a representative for some company. But okay, so the company does exist. They have a website. They are a real company. I looked into it. And they've been selling bags for a long time, but you can sign up. Like if you're an influencer, Cleveland. What's up, Cleveland? If you're an influencer, you can sign up. You have a bunch of followers and you can become a rep, kind of like Avon. Right? Like Avon, you can be a rep and then you get your friends to buy it. And, you know, Yara has a shit ton of followers.
Yeah.
So, you know, they probably looked at it like, oh, you could bring in a lot of customers. But my question, Kara, do we have 90-day fans that have thousands of dollars to blow on stuff like that? Because I was under the impression, like, we're not the Real Housewives franchise that we watch all the time. Like, it's a different clientele. I don't know.
Even if I had thousands and thousands and thousands of dollars to blow on bullshit, it wouldn't be on a bag for my dog. Honestly.
I know. Okay, so, you know, I have a cat, Skittles, and I do have a stroller for Skittles so we can take Skittles out in public, and I did spend a couple of $100 on the stroller. I'm not proud of it, but...
You should be. That's awesome.
Skittles out. Skittles is very well behaved and loves the attention we get out in public, but... You know, $100, I think $150 is what I paid for the stroller versus like $1,150. That's a big difference, Cara. Like, that's a huge difference. It wouldn't even cross my mind to spend that much on a carrier bag for the dog. First of all, dogs can walk. I only bought, right? So I would get a leash, like a designer leash. But like for a cat, you can't walk a cat. So it's more important to make sure the cat can't run away, run in the street, because cats are they're more temperamental, and if they're scared, they'll start. So I don't know. The whole thing is crazy to me, but good for you, Yara, if you're making a whole bunch of money. Like I said, because people attacked me, they were like, well, would you like it better if she just didn't work and ask people for money, like other people, like Jasmine, per se. And I was like, well, no, you're right. She has a hustle, and it's a legitimate hustle. Right? It's legitimate. Right. She's not selling coochie pics for $5. No, she is selling real products to people or whatever. So I can't hate on her hustle because her hustle is real. She's out there making money. She's not asking people to just hand her anything. So I don't want to come down on her too hard because there's a lot of cast members out there who ain't working nowhere and they're just asking you to hand them stuff. So I can't come down on Yara too hard because since Yara's been over here, she's been a hustler. She's been selling things, starting lines, selling hair straighteners. Miona, too. Remember Miona from Jabri and Miona?
Yeah.
She ain't come over here and asked nobody for nothing. She came over here and she started up her hustle. So people on Twitter were like, you need to stop being mean to these women that are...
Well, Miona didn't ask anybody for anything, but she also dumped Jabri the first second she got.
Do you?
It was like, thanks for the ride.
Do you blame her, though?
No, well, no, but still. Like, thanks for the ride.
I think Miona wanted to come over here and make a life for herself. And I think when she got here, because remember, oh my God, we're going back a long time. Remember Jabri wouldn't get a job. Remember this conversation that Jabri had?
He still
with his
doesn't
mom.
Have a job. He's over in Siberia.
Yeah. And I remember his mom and him sitting at the table. This was like a week and a half before Miona. No, a few weeks before Miona was going to head over, oh my God, South Dakota, I think, wherever they live. And she was like, you should get a job so you can be ready and prepared for Miona when she gets here. She's gonna need things, and it's gonna, she doesn't have the money, and she, not only does she not have it, she's not allowed to make the money. And she was like, I want you to be ready. And Jabri had every excuse in the book of why he's like, well, I have my music and I can't be tied down, and I have every excuse in the world that he couldn't work. And I think Miona got here and she's such a hardworking, goal-oriented woman. After a while, I think she was like, I just can't fathom spending my life with someone who doesn't have the same goal alignment as me. Because yep. Jabri has a million goals, but no actual path to getting to them.
Yeah. Right?
Because I've watched his lives, very inspiring. He's a good talker, but when it yeah. comes to making the talk reality, there's no clear path. He yeah. just talks a good game, but I was like, you have to get to that game that you're talking. And I think Miona, because you know the guy she's with now, he works for Oprah. He's a reporter
oh, really?
For Oprah. Oh, yeah. This guy, it don't get no higher than Oprah, right? She had a talk right. show that she was one of the number one talk shows in the world. You know what she did? Quit.
Yeah.
She was just like, I'm tired of doing this. I've conquered this world. I've made millions and billions of dollars. I don't even want to do it anymore. That's the level of success that Oprah had. Can you imagine having the number one talk show in the world and you just wake up one day and say, I don't even feel like doing this anymore?
Yeah.
So this guy that Miona's with now, he's an actor. He's been in a lot of different films. I think Tyler Perry films. And he's a reporter for the OWN network, Oprah Winfrey Network. This yeah. guy is a go-getter.
Yeah.
And I think Miona. Yeah. And I think that aligns with her, right? She
yeah.
came over here with nothing. And she made something out of herself through her own hard work and dedication. I think when you are that type of person, you need to be with someone like that. Speaking of which, Kara and Guillermo are broken up or breaking up. How do you feel? Because a lot of, first of all, I don't want to ask you the stupid, are you team Kara, team Guillermo crap. I don't want to do that. But how do you feel about this situation? Because a lot of people feel that Kara is a bit of a hypocrite. Because
I have so many mixed emotions about this one.
See, I feel the same way because I kind of feel like I relate to them both in some way, shape, or form. Because Guillermo has a goal. He wants to be a pilot, and Kara shot that goal down. She's like, well, you're a dad, and you got kids, and you got a family. You can't do that. But then she hops on a plane and goes to Italy to record an album and leaves her baby at home. And everyone's like, well, how he's not allowed to follow his dreams, but you're allowed to follow yours. How is that fair? So I don't know where I land with this situation.
And he's early 20s. Like, let him have. You're bitching that he doesn't support you. You're not supporting him at all. And then he catches you texting somebody, smiling, grinning, doing the thing. Okay, last week she said, or whenever she said that he accused her of cheating, she said, I was texting with a friend and blah, blah, blah. And then tonight when he asked her who she was texting, she said, I was just looking on the internet. So she lied. In two different episodes, she lied. Right there. That said everything.
Here's the thing, Kara. If you're not doing anything wrong, right? So say, for instance, you come in, we're dating, and I'm on my phone, and you come over my shoulder, and I hide my phone. If I'm not doing anything wrong, the first thing that comes to your mind is, who are you texting? Because we're in a relationship, and there's no reason why I should hide my phone from you.
Right.
So if you're not doing anything wrong, the natural thing for me to do is hand you my phone and let you see what I'm doing, because I'm not lying, I'm not doing anything wrong, and would I be offended? Maybe a little bit that you thought that I was, but at the end of the day, I would rather appease you and show you that the trust that we have isn't broken and show you what I'm doing. Hiding it and denying it and refusing to show him what you're doing is a sign of guilt to me.
And saying it's none of your business.
Oh, it's 100% his business. Y'all have a baby together.
Yep.
You're not just married. You have a baby together. It's 100% his business who you talk to. So also, the guy that does the Pachata Nights is a guy that she had sex with in 2011.
Yeah,
so
the after party is conveniently at his house.
At his house. So the plot is getting thicker and thicker as we go along, right?
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, he's upset because you're hanging out with the guy that you were sleeping with. And then the plot got a little thicker because he was like, right before we got married, this guy was messaging her, trying to get back with her, saying not to marry me. And I was like, see, this is all pertinent information that are leaning towards, you know, she needs to show you who she's talking to. So also, I had another question that was coming to me as I was watching. So Thursday nights, she likes to stay out till 3 or 4 in the morning with her friends. So when you're married and you have kids and you have a family life, is it normal to go out every night and escape your husband and escape your child? Because it feels like to me, if you need to do that, you don't like the life that you have. You're looking for an escape from the life that you have.
Yeah.
Right? Like, why do you feel the need every week? You need to ignore your husband, ignore your son, ignore your home life, and go out and party like a 21-year-old. It makes me feel like you're not happy with the life that you have.
When my kids were little, I had girls' night twice a year. Once on my best friend's birthday and once on my birthday.
I mean, see, and I agree.
We were the only two girls. There was nobody else. No other girls, no other guys. It was just her and I.
Well, see, that's the thing. I think that parents definitely deserve time to themselves. But when you're going to hang out at some dude's house at 3 or 4 in the morning, and this dude is someone that you were obviously attracted to at one point because you slept together, and then this guy's also doing favors for you. And you know what they say about the music industry, because, you know, we watch the Diddy situation play out. If a man is doing favors for a woman, there's usually a reason.
Yep.
Especially a beautiful, attractive woman. If he's just, he just wants to help you for no reason, that raises the eyebrow a little bit. Like, well, why do you want to help her for no reason, right? Because there's a lot of women who need help in the industry, but a lot of them don't get help. But this particular one, you want to schedule her to perform at your nights, and she's invited to your house for after party. That raises a huge eyebrow to me. And it's unfortunate because the music industry has been known, especially for women, to be an exploitive place, right? Yep. Men in the industry, and I don't want to just say that because it happens to men and women, but for the longest time, women were given the raw deal in the situation, right? If a woman wanted to make it to the top, there was only one way to get there. And like when a man could get to the top just through his talent and through his hard work, women were told they had to sleep their way up to the top. So when you hear that a married woman is flying to other countries to work with these men that just want to help her, they just want to help her, right? I just want to help you. You seem like a nice girl. I just want to help you.
Yeah.
That raises a huge eyebrow because of the backstory of how the music industry was set up, especially when it comes to women. Women have always told our story. We listened to Kesha's story and what it took for her to become number one. And it's traumatizing the things that she's told us went on. Right. In order for her to get these songs out there for people to hear. But for some reason, men can just put out a song and it gets to the radio right away. They don't got to talk to nobody. They don't got to sleep with nobody. They don't got to pay nobody. It just, so when I hear all these men want to help her, my eyebrow is already in the air.
But also the fact that it was an ex that she hooked up with one time, because that's what she said, it was only once.
Do you believe that?
Not a chance in hell. Not a chance in hell.
How many people only hooked up with their ex once, right? Like, come on now.
Yeah, that never happened, ever. That would be called a one-night stand, and you don't ever see that person again.
Well, right, she did, because she referred to the person as an ex. If y'all had sex one time, or you went on one date and had sex one time, you wouldn't even say that that was an ex. That was just a random one-night stand. See, that's another thing. I think that she is downplaying the situation. And what I really dislike is the gaslighting part of it, where she's like, well, you don't trust me and you probably are cheating on me. And I don't like that, because it's like when you give somebody a reason to doubt you, and then instead of giving them a reason why they shouldn't doubt you and with proof, you attack them and you come after them. That's the gaslighting part of it. And that's like, trust is very, very fragile. And when it's broken, you know, projecting and gaslighting is never going to fix the situation. And I feel like she's like, oh, well,
she did exactly what she's accusing him of. So he's asking her questions and she turned the tables and looked me in the eyes and tell me if you've slept with anybody, blah, blah, blah. He says, he's like, no. And then, well, my mom said, who gives a shit what your mom said? Your mom's not married to him. So.
I don't know. I mean, I'm not, it's funny because we've known that they were broken up for like a long time now. Mm-hmm. So now we're kind of getting the information of what happened. And honestly, it's funny because on the other podcast we were talking about it and everybody kept saying, I think she cheated on him. I think she cheated on him. And now that the story is breaking through, you know, that is what it's kind of looking like, right? Like the reason why. And then what was even crazier for me, Cara, was when he asked her who she was talking to and she wouldn't give the phone to him, she kicked him out of the house.
Yeah.
That's what the actual hell? So you are questioning something that she's doing, and your punishment for questioning her is now you no longer can live with her and your son. You have to go live somewhere else. That is crazy to me.
He's super young. He's in his 20s. He's in a foreign country. He's got no family here. He's got a job working in a restaurant, and you kick him out to go rent a place on his own so that you can accuse him of cheating because your mom saw him with messy hair after working in a restaurant. I'm sorry, I bartended for a whole lot of years, a majority of my life. And 9 times out of 10, I came home looking like I got put through the ringer.
Well, yeah, funny story. I used to work at Red Lobster when I was a teen. Well, yeah, still a teen. And I came with food stains, drink stains. I looked crazy after a shift. And so the idea that they're like, oh, he was a little late and his hair was messed up. I was like, so maybe he had on a hairnet or maybe it was busy.
I would come straight in and shower. Every time I left a shift, I'd just come straight in and shower.
Well, yeah, I felt like shrimp, right? Like I had to. So yeah. She's like, he went straight to the bathroom. Yeah, probably because he spilled food or drink on him throughout the day and was sweaty. And we did see the restaurant he was at. They had an outdoor and an indoor setting. Yeah. So maybe his tables were outside and he was just sweating all day. Like there's many, many explanations as to why somebody comes home looking disheveled. You know,
the fact
for me,
of the matter is she's throwing over his head how she's this great realtor and successful and started this music career. He has all these hopes and dreams that he wants to do. And he's still working, even though I'm sure it's a subpar job to her because she's obviously never had to work a job like that. So he's out there still busting his ass trying to provide for his family. And she just keeps throwing it in his face that it's not good enough. It's not good enough. It's not good enough. But when he wants to do something better, he can't. He's not allowed.
Well, yeah, she told him that he wasn't allowed to go to the Air Force because he has a family and you can't abandon your family. But she's allowed to go to Italy, record an album, go on tour, go out every Thursday night till 3, 4, 5 o'clock in the morning. It's just hypocrisy for me. And again, I'm not team either one. I think Kara as a person, she and I have talked many, many times. I think she's a good person. I think her relationship, I see flaws with it, but also I'm not in the relationship, so I don't know everything. So I'm not going to throw her or him under the bus. I think that both of them have some things going on that we probably aren't going to see on camera. But at the end of the day, it should be an equal relationship. One person isn't allowed to achieve or chase dreams and the other person isn't. It should work both ways. And I mean, obviously with a child, y'all have to work it out where everyone's housed and everyone is fed and everything is okay. But at the end of the day, you can't say my dreams are more important than your dreams.
Yeah.
You can't do that. No marriage will survive when one person's dreams are more important than the other. And it's like, that's my main issue with that situation, because she makes him feel like, I brought you over here, so I did this for you, so now you have to just do whatever the hell I want. Because I did this huge favor for you, and I brought you to the U.S., and I gave you a better life. And I was like, is it better? Because now he's not allowed, because he might have been able to chase his dreams if he never would have married you. You're telling him that, so I was like, how much better is it? Because he could have been a pilot where he was. He came over here with you, and now you're telling him that he can't be one.
Yeah. It's sad. It's sad. I'm interested to see how it's going to play out.
Yeah, we're on episode 10. So we're about halfway, probably about a little almost over halfway through. So we'll see.
There ends up being 85 episodes.
Well, I feel like they're being set up to go straight to the last resort. Do you feel like that? I feel like also Darcy and Georgie, too, because they've been having their little issues. So
I think Diaries is coming out after that, and then Last Resort, because they've already announced the Last Resort couples, right? Or wait,
I didn't know. No, they didn't announce it yet. And I've heard certain people are going to be on the Last Resort, but they haven't announced it officially.
Yeah.
And you know who is? Remember the last tell-all we had? The meatball chick was on there, and everybody was like, "What are you doing here?" The one with Johan.
She's
gonna be on the Last Resort, because everybody's like, because you know they do it as a commercial. So whatever you're watching currently, the people that they're gonna be launching soon, they bring back to kind of refresh you. So everybody was like, she has nothing to do with this season. Why is she here? Oh, that's because she's gonna be on the next season of Last Resort, and they're actually filming it somewhere over where she's living now. So I think Kara and Guillermo are gonna be on there too. Whatever, and you know who else?
We will not be discussing that shit show.
Period. Oh, not a chance. Not a chance. And also, I think Jasmine and Matt are heading to the Last Resort, too.
Yeah.
That's the direction that I see.
I also saw Big Ed and Angela. Did you see that?
Wait, who said that?
Coming up on the Hunt for Love. The next Hunt for Love, too.
Really? I've heard a lot of rumors about Hunt for Love.
I saw Tyree, Angela.
I heard Jamal, too. Did you hear Jamal?
I didn't hear Jamal. I heard, hold on, and I can tell you who I heard.
Oh, and Natalie. I heard Natalie. Did you hear that?
Yeah, I did hear Natalie.
And the girl May from The Hunt for Love. I heard her
I
name.
Did
oh,
hear
and Joe. And Joe from
Hunt for Love. On Hunt for Love is supposed to be, I've heard, okay, Pedro. So this
Pedro.
Is where.
See, this makes sense because they were discussing him on the tell-all. For Hunt for Love. So like this, and that means that, and Sophie is gonna pop up on The Single Life. I know you heard that too. Yep. See, they always put the people
okay,
right in
our
face.
Okay, wait for this list before. Though for the Hunt for Love. Are you ready? We got Pedro, Tyrae, Gino. This one's gonna make your skin fall off your body. Paul.
Wait, I thought he wasn't even allowed in this country anymore.
Oh, well, he's supposed to be on it. Big Ed. What's her face? I can't remember her name. The one that keeps dying but isn't really dead. Not Danielle.
Oh, Nicole. Well, she said that Nicole. she would never film again. So that's yeah. great.
Well, she's supposed to be on it. Olga from Steven and Olga.
Oh.
Sophie.
Well, I heard she was doing Single Life.
Oh, I heard she's doing Hunt for Love. And
oh.
So is Pedro.
Well, that makes sense because they were spotted together. And I'm assuming and they were filming together.
Danielle and Mohammed.
Danielle? She didn't. I thought she said she would never film again either.
And then Angela.
Well, Angela, I could see, you know, because after this divorce, was only a matter of time. You know, they give you a little cool off time, right? When you're mad at a cast member, they give you a little time to cool off. And they did it with Ed, remember? With Ed, everybody was heated about Ed. They're like, I don't want to see Ed anymore. They give you a little time to cool off and then they bring him back. Did you see that they brought him back for the Hunt for Love Between the Sheets?
Yes.
For the little soft. They do a little soft opening, right? To see how people feel about you. And they'll bring you back.
Well, and then they bring up Pedro and Sophie and... The only ones I haven't heard anything about, I mean, Steven and Olga were recently on Diaries, 90 Day Diaries. Divorcing.
Yeah, they were breaking up, right? Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the only ones I haven't heard anything about is Danielle from Danielle and Mohammed and what's-her-face, Nicole, and what's-his-name. But
yeah, Colin Adam. I would be surprised because Nicole said that she really didn't want to do anything on TV ever again. And she actually fell off of social media. She won't even post on social media. So I would be really interested, to be honest with you, to see her again. Because I just want to hear how life has been going for her and her daughter. Because it's been so long.
Yeah.
And I want to, even if she did a diary just to tell us, like, if she's dating again, if she ever talked to Azon again. Like, I have, like, a million questions that I would love.
Yeah.
So if they can get her in front of a camera, I got my popcorn and my drink and I'm ready.
Yeah,
I'm ready. Let's hear it because it's been so long. She don't even post on Instagram. Like, I would love to know what she's doing. She's like hiding. Like, honestly, she's been in hiding for like 8 years.
Yeah. But there's always something saying she's dead. So she.
Yeah. I heard that she had sold the rights for somebody to post on her Instagram and they post clipbait on her Instagram. Like, so she. And that's what that is. So whatever. Yeah. She gets paid and they post crap, basically, on her IG. So, I mean, here we go, right? Here we go. I heard that they're already filming Single Life, but The Last Resort hasn't started yet. So we're getting closer and closer to the announcement, obviously. Because, you know, once they start filming, we'll find out what's going on.
Yep.
There's always somebody willing to give us some information.
Yep.
And we're going to take that and we're going to post it everywhere and we're going to get to the bottom of it. So
absolutely.
We're getting closer and closer. But for tomorrow, the premiere of The Other Way, I'm really excited about new people, finally. I don't want to... like keep watching the same people over and over and over in the same storyline. The Libby Andre. Oh, Andre's an asshole. I'm so tired of it. So I'm really ready for the new people, right? I'm like, really, Libby? You're just figuring it out because you figured it out last season, then you figured out the season before that, and then your sister told you the season before that. Like, how long are you gonna keep using the same storyline?
Yeah.
Like, get it out, right? So we'll be back to talk about it. This was fun, Kara. I feel like
I know I miss you so freaking much.
I know I miss you. I feel like we need to do this again, like tomorrow, right? And then next week again and again and again
and again
and we won't stop doing it anymore, right?
No, let's not.
So all right, so we'll be back tomorrow. We're gonna watch the premiere of The Other Way, which I'm excited about. And we'll talk to you guys really soon. Thanks for all the people who joined tonight, because I know it's been a long time. I posted a super last minute story to tell people we were coming back to surprise everyone. And I'm just excited at how many people stopped by and talked to us and talked about the show with us. It makes me feel good to know that you guys are still here, because we've been gone for so long, right? You're still here. You're still interested. And I'm really happy to be back. This will go on Spotify for anybody who had to go to sleep early tonight. But thank you, Kara, for joining me. I miss you, love you.
I miss you, I love you.
to every single person who listened tonight. We'll talk to you really soon. Okay, bye.
Bye.